Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, and support services. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Autism Empowerment Radio. My name is Karen Krecha, and I am the co-founder of Autism Empowerment and your host for today's show. As you heard in the little pre-recorded intro, Autism Empowerment is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we are dedicated to making life better and more meaningful for individuals and families in the autism and Asperger communities locally, regionally, and worldwide. Today's show recording date is Friday, November 22nd, 2013, and we're doing something really special today. It should be a lot of fun. We're bringing on two previous Autism Empowerment Radio guests together. From Vancouver, Washington, we're going to have Brian Tashima, author of sci-fi fantasy novel Secret of the Songshell. And from the San Francisco Bay Area in California, we're going to have Jonathan Murphy, professional voiceover artist and actor. They're going to be talking about the Secret of the Songshell audiobook and do a very special reading for our listeners today. So that should be a lot of fun, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Before that, I want to go ahead and say a special thanks to our recent guest on Autism Empowerment Radio. That was Jody Murphy from Geek Club Books. If you recognize her name, it's because Jody is Jonathan's mom, and she's also been a guest blogger at the Autism Empowerment website. Jody, her daughter Molly, her son Jonathan, and a bunch of other really amazing, talented people work together at Geek Club Books, and they develop positive self-acceptance projects like the Mighty League app and the Little eBook of Autismisms to share with a growing community of moms, dads, and kids of all ages who like being geeks. It's a really cool community. They've got a really great website at geekclubbooks.com, and currently they also have a free Apo Planning giveaway going on their Facebook page where everyone who enters wins a free app. So go ahead and connect with that at geekclubbooks.com, and make sure to also go back and listen to Jody's interview. We have a link to that on our website at autismempowerment.org. You can also download that through iTunes or through Blog Talk Radio. At Autism Empowerment, we promote four foundational pillars: accept, enrich, inspire, and empower. And we are here to support you with resources, training, special events, our Facebook community, and programs such as Autism Empowerment Radio. We appreciate you listening in today, but want you to become more connected after the show. So you can do that by visiting our website at autismempowerment.org. Check out our mission, vision, core values, and beliefs, and then connect with us through social media. We are there at a lot of different places. If you go to our website, just look in the upper left-hand corner, and you can connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Flickr, Tumblr, and LinkedIn. Okay, so what did Joel Suzuki, teenage musician protagonist from The Secret of the Songshell, and Jonathan Murphy, professional actor and voiceover artist from the San Francisco Bay Area, have in common? They're both on the autism spectrum, diagnosed with Asperger syndrome. It seemed only natural when Brian Tashima, who is a sci-fi fantasy fiction author, was looking for someone to record the audiobook for his first novel in the Spectreland Saga series, that Jonathan would be the perfect choice. So today here at Autism Empowerment Radio, we're welcoming Brian and Jonathan on air to talk about the process behind creating the audiobook and also a little bit more about the Secret of the Songshell story. Brian Tashima was born and raised in Hawaii and is a resident of Vancouver, Washington. He is a singer, songwriter, and guitarist also, and he has won a Hoku Award, which is Hawaii's version of the Grammys. He's had his music featured in short films, and his book, Secret of the Songshell, was a 2012 finalist in the USA Best Book Awards for Fantasy Fiction. You can connect with them at thespectrelandsaga.com. And Jonathan Murphy, Well, he's comfortable with a wide range of voiceover challenges, anything from Shakespeare to cartoon characters. He's a director's dream and doesn't let Asperger's hold him back. You can listen in to his talent at California's Great America by visiting johnincharacter.com and also checking out his work at Geek Club Books. So let's go ahead and bring both of these amazing and talented gentlemen on air now. Brian and Jonathan, welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio.
Thanks, Karen.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hello. Well, it is wonderful having both of you guys here today. It's always a little bit strange when I have more than one guest talking, so I'll kind of cue you guys on whose turn it is, and if you want to jump in any time on certain questions, go ahead and do so. Brian, I'll have you go ahead first. You were last on our show in November of 2012. Wow, that was a long time ago. You've been on our show three times, and so I want to make sure that people out there who may not have listened to our show before get a chance to know a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. Well, like you said, I'm a musician. I play the guitar, sing, songwriter, as well as an author, and I've been living in Vancouver up here in the Great Northwest since 2000, and it's been a great ride so far.
Wonderful, wonderful. Jonathan, the last time you were on air with us was in February of 2013, when we had a really special treat. You talked about your voiceover and acting career, and we got to listen to a lot of demos of your voiceover work, and of course, you actually did great voices on air. For those who didn't catch that interview, I was hoping you might tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I have Asperger's. I'm high functioning Asperger's, which is on the autism spectrum. I am a professional voice actor, and I do some on camera stuff too. But I mostly really enjoy doing the voice acting stuff because I like doing cartoon characters and things like that. And yeah, I've been involved with it for a number of years and hope to continue to do so in the future.
Well, anybody who has heard your work, boy, I mean, I'll tell you, our family was at Great America this summer. My folks live in California. And my kids had heard the show that you'd done with us. And when we heard your voices on air, having talked to you on radio before, it was, like, really surreal, but it was awesome. For our listeners out there, Jonathan has done you've done the voices of, gosh, almost everything out at Great America, right?
Everything mostly to do with, like, the show announcements for the entertainment stuff, but I've done a couple of rides. I have done the Star Tower, the swirling tower thing. Every so often they use my voice, and recently I got to do their newest ride, which was the Gold Strikers, which if you enter the park and look to your right, it's right there.
That is so cool. You know, the tower was the one, that was the first ride that we always enter and do every year. It was just kind of a family tradition. So that was the first thing we heard. And so it set the tone for a really positive day. So that was really cool.
Oh, was it my voice this time?
It was your voice, yes. Yeah,
it's just
I'm sure that the person running the ride, you know, I'm like, you know, geeking out and saying, oh, I know the person who did this, you know, and he's just probably looking at me like, okay, but it was really cool.
Just say that to another employee, and if they know me, they'll say the same thing.
Well, they get to hear it thousands of times, right?
Yeah.
Well. I think it's a lot of fun, and I think what you do there is really cool. So,
thank you.
Brian, when you decided that you wanted to go ahead and do an audiobook version of Secret of the Song Shell, and you made that decision, how did you and Jonathan connect?
I am happy to say that actually we connected through Autism Empowerment, because I was aware that Jonathan had been a former guest on the show, on the radio show, and I had connected to them through that. You know, I sent them a copy of my book actually, last year actually, and so yes, you know, so once I decided that I wanted to do an audiobook version of it, Yeah, I was thinking, okay, well, you know, I could read it myself, or I could try to find something to narrate it. And then I think I actually asked you if you knew anybody who was on the spectrum that would be a good fit for this. And then you mentioned, oh, Jonathan. Oh, yeah, that's right. And so it was perfect. It was great. I mean, I'm really happy to have made that connection.
Well, it's like matchmaking. It was wonderful. You guys were meant to connect together.
yeah, totally.
Yeah, for a funny story, this is actually the first time I've actually heard, I've actually spoken with Brian, like I've heard his voice.
Yeah, exactly. Even though I've heard Jonathan's voice quite a lot.
Yeah, you hear my voice a lot, but not live.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I didn't realize that. So that's pretty cool.
Yep. So yeah, I was really pleased to have made that connection, and it, you know, it's it really turned out really well. So.
And speaking of which, I have a sample here that you sent over to us, Brian. It's about 4 minutes, and I'd like to go ahead and play it for our listeners. Does that sound good with you guys?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
I'm going to go ahead and do so. Oops, wait.
Long Talk Radio.
Wonderful. Live radio. Here we go.
Why did I promise to do this? Joel calculated in his head that he had 3 minutes and 35 seconds to pull this off. The next class started in 6.5 minutes. He wanted to give himself a buffer. 3 minutes and 35 seconds. The exact same duration as Hang on Darkness, the 6th song on Bile Driver's first album. Joel blinked a few times as he tried to refocus his thoughts. A high-pitched warbling sound squealed in his ears, accompanied by a brief, sharp pain that shot through his head from left to right. The sound lasted for 2 seconds, and then it was over. He looked around. No one else seemed to have heard it. Joel rubbed his temples, closed his eyes, and exhaled. It was the second time today that he heard the strange noise, but there was no time to worry about it now. He opened his eyes and caught a glimpse of his target, a head of long, shiny black hair cascading over a blood-red blouse. A cold, empty feeling gripped his stomach. I can't do this. I can't even pass a stupid reading comprehension test. What makes me think I can do this? Joel scanned the hall of his high school and saw that the other students were blocking off all possible avenues of exit. He replayed a vision of his sister in his mind. You promise, right? Taylor's button-shaped 10-year-old face said to him. With that, he took a deep breath and strode forward. 3 minutes exactly. Sometimes you just gotta say, what the heck, and go with it. The head of shiny black hair turned away from the locker it was facing, revealing a soft, pale face with deep brown eyes and bright red lips. The eyes regarded Joel with an air of bemused expectation. Hi, Joel whispered at his shoes. Sorry, the lips said as the head leaned in a little closer. Joel cleared his throat. He had only learned 2 weeks ago that sorry, in this context, meant that the other person did not hear you. Hi, Susie, right? Right, Susie said. And you are? Joel could almost feel his synapses firing. Joel. I'm Joel. Joel Suzuki. We're in, the same chemistry class. Honors chemistry. Susie's eyes widened with recognition. Oh, yeah. Second period, right? Sorry I didn't recognize you. Don't you sit way in the back? Joel searched his brain for an appropriate response. The script was not going quite as he had planned. A large junior prom poster announcing a day of the week that was mismatched to the actual date distracted him for a moment. He shook his head to refocus once again. No, I mean, yeah, I guess. It's not really way in the back, actually. It's the third desk from the back, and, Okay, Susie chuckled. Well, it's nice to meet you, Joel. Nice to meet you, too, Joel replied. His mind started to drown in a pool of his own jumbled thoughts, one of which cried out, Now what was I supposed to say next? Oh, well, the third desk from the back, in the second row on the right side of the room, if you're facing the class from the front, you know, from the teacher's perspective. Okay, Susie said. Joel clenched his teeth. Faced with internal panic, he retreated to safer, familiar ground. Speaking of chemistry, that's like science, right? And did you know that Newton was the first person to come up with the theory of air resistance? It's like for low flow speeds. Drag is due to the dimensions of a body, the density of the fluid, and the... A hand with long red painted nails closed a locker door. Ham, Joel, I really have to get to class, but it's been nice talking to you, okay?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Joel stammered. He wanted to tell her that they had 130 seconds left to get to class, but she had already turned to leave.
That was great. Good job, guys. Jonathan, that was wonderful.
Yeah, that was really good. I really liked it.
I've had lots of practice with that.
With which part?
Well, now that you mention, both, actually.
So, when you did the recording for that, I've never been part of the behind-the-scenes action of how that all comes into play. Jonathan, what was the process like? Did you do all the voices? How did that all work?
Oh, well, I've actually never been before this part of the behind-the-scenes of an audiobook recording, too. It's very different because when you normally get a script for, like, you know, any kind of thing, you're usually there doing it for however long the piece is, or if you're doing, like, a series, you're your own character, or however many characters you play. You're basically it. I mean, and for a book, there's just so many words to get out. And fortunately, I found myself a really good engineer who lives in my area. His name is Michael Meyer, and he and I actually meet every time we record this, and we, like, record a chapter or two, depending on how long they are, and we usually set, like, 1.5 to 2 hours, because I found that if we go for too long, you know, eventually you just end up falling into the, you know, monotone, you're reading the story, you're not telling the story. So he records it, and I do all the voices, I do the narration, I do all of the voices. He records it, he edits it, you know, after I'm gone, and when we meet again, usually we'll, like, do any, you know, fix-ups, like if I made a mistake on a word, or if I missed a word, or if, like, the word was fine, but there was, like, a flock of loud, noisy geese flying by his window, and, you know, got to re-record that. But, it was a very interesting, very new challenge, but I think it was worthwhile, a worthwhile experience.
Very neat. How long did it take to record the whole book?
I think approximately 3 months. Now, me and Michael met once a week because we of our schedules and stuff. So we could only meet once a week. We usually met on Fridays and in the afternoon. And so we started at the end of, like, at the very tail end of, I think, July. And then we kind of went through, and then we officially ended everything, like, at the first week of November. We did final corrections, and we sent everything over.
Wow.
So it took about 3 months.
Now, Brian, during all this time, you must have been, like, really anticipating what you're going to receive. Or would Jonathan send demos over, or was it just all one big surprise?
No, they would send over chapters at a time. So, if, you know, they would complete one chapter and then they would send that over. So, yeah, it was like, you know, it's kind of like Christmas every couple of weeks or so. I would, you know, open my inbox and there would be a new chapter and I would get to listen to it. And so it was a really fun process. It was it's kind of like a journey in and of itself. You know, I almost felt like when we were done, I had almost kind of felt like I had gone on this long, you know, journey of going through the book and you know, because like Jonathan said, it took about 3 months. And, you know, I'll be getting a chapter every so often, you know, every week or two. And, it was just, you know, it was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of excitement I had, you know, anticipating the next, receiving the next chapter and listening to it. And, you know, so it was a fun time.
That's great. For our listeners
Go
ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just really wanted to, you know, say, you know, I can't emphasize enough how much of a big help Michael, my engineer, Michael Meyer, has been in this process, because he, you know, he spent more time on this than really I did, and he did, you know, just listening from that demo, he did such great work, you know, I just want to know, I mean, it was a trio effort, it was me, Brian, and Michael, so I just wanted to make sure that got out there.
Absolutely, Mike Meyer. We'll give you a big shout out. I'll even put an extra note on the Autism Empowerment org website when we talk about the show to make sure that you get your credit, because it's just a really neat experience. You know, as someone who's read the book, to hear it come to life and then to be able, it just brings like a lot of the visuals even more clear, sharper, and it's a lot of fun. For our listeners out there who may not be familiar with the book, Brian, would you tell our listeners the storyline, a little of the backstory, and what it's all about?
Sure. Well, it's a young adult science fiction fantasy about Joel Suzuki, who is a teenage guitar player with Asperger's syndrome, and he travels to another world where his brain waves can be combined with the sound waves of music to create magical effects. Now, in the beginning of the book, he's having struggles with school and bullies, and he lives in a single parent home. They have money problems, and he's going through the usual teen angst as well as some of the issues that his Asperger's presents. And so, but the one thing, his special interest is music, and he kind of feels that if he can just become a rich and famous rock star, that'll solve all of his problems, and it'll lead to everlasting happiness. And so that's kind of what he's after in the beginning of the story. And so one day he kind of finds the key to that, or the answer to that, in an unexpected way when he runs into his rock star idol, a guy named Marshall Bile, on the street. And Marshall tells him that he'll tell him the secret to success, but he just has to come with him to this other world. And so so they go there, and Joel goes there with him thinking that, okay, well, I'm going to learn how to do this, and that's supposed to unlock the secrets to be able to, you know, write hit songs. And but once he gets to the other world, then all kinds of crazy things happen. He finds himself swept up into this other adventure, and it all kind of ties back in the end.
And this is part of, actually, it's the first book in a series. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's going to be, the idea is to have a 7-book series. And right now I'm still working on book two. I know it's funny because when I looked at the summary for our last interview in November of last year, and I noticed that we mentioned that I was working on book two, I'm still in the same place. I'm still working on book two. It's been a longer process than I had anticipated, but I think that's part of the whole creative process, where I've actually written enough words to fill up an entire new book, but it just wasn't really working out the way I wanted to. So, there are bands out there who record entire albums and then scrap the whole thing and record it again. So that's kind of, I don't feel so bad, knowing that that's kind of what I've done. Actually, I've scrapped a lot of stuff, but I had to kind of retrench and go back and really kind of plot out, kind of the whole series in a little more detail. Like, I kind of knew where I wanted the story to go and what was going to happen, but I realized when I was writing book two, when I was really knee-deep in it, that I needed to know a little bit more detail about where some of these characters were going to end up and what kinds of things were going to happen in order for me to commit to something in the second book. I didn't want to commit to something and then later on down the line be like, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. I needed to go in this direction. Now I'm kind of stuck in a corner. So I needed to make sure that I had the roadmap planned out a little bit more. And so now I think I'm at a point, at the risk of jinxing myself, I think I'm at a point where I am now confident enough that I'm proceeding with the writing of the second book. So It's just taking a little longer than expected, but it's coming along. I'm really happy with the direction that it's shaping up in now. So,
well,
hey,
I'm Brian.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, just you know, if it makes you feel better, one of my favorite authors, Mr. George R. R. Martin,
mm-hmm.
who wrote, you know, Song of Ice and Fire.
Yep.
It's been a few years. We're still waiting on the next book, George. You know, so you're right there with the best of them.
Great.
So.
Yeah, I don't feel so bad. I know what you're talking about with the George Martin thing. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, it happens.
Right there,
you know.
You.
Yeah, it happens with the best. It happens to the best of the best. Just, you know, you got to do what you feel. You know, you got to do what the creative juices tell you to do.
Yep. Exactly.
And it really is a creative process, and I think, you know, as someone who's read your book, it will be worth the wait. It was very well received in our family, and it was well received in the community. In fact, your book was a 2012 finalist in the USA Best Book Awards for Fantasy Fiction, and you've been doing different signings around the area as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of live events. In fact, I redid the cover. We have a new cover for the book now that we re-released it last April or this past April, and so we did like another launch party for that. And I've been involved in a lot of local author groups here in the area. So you know, we, you know, collectively as a group, we go out and we do signings and appearances and book sales and things. And so it's been, yeah, I've been doing a lot of that and trying to write the book at the same time. That's been kind of a challenge, is, you know, balancing the two, you know, promoting the first book and writing the second one. But it's been a busy year.
Definitely. Jonathan, was there any part of the book or any of the characters that were more difficult to do or more fun to do than others?
I'm trying to think. There were a lot of characters, but not so many that I really couldn't handle. You know, it was just kind of what helped me was I asked Brian for, you know, a short kind of synopsis, a little bit of characters, you know, what kind of list all the characters that have speaking parts and what kind of what they would sound like and who they were, so I could kind of get myself thinking about it as I was reading the book before I started recording. I think the most fun characters, there's a character who is a bit of a recurring antagonist for the heroes. His name is Dark Eye. And I love doing evil, monstery, evil characters are just really fun to do. And then there are, like, villain characters and creatures that have speaking roles and stuff. I like doing those. The hardest character for me to do consistently-wise was surprisingly not the females. Surprisingly not them. It was actually Marshall, because Marshall had a particular accent and a particular sound. And I'm not – and the way that Brian – it was perfect. The way he described him was very Russell Brand-esque. And I'm not Russell Brand. So it was kind of, you know, hard to – I was slipping into different forms of British at times and stuff, and it was just it was challenging to maintain. It was the one that Michael kept saying, remember the accent. Oh, right.
Well, gosh, it's got to be quite a process to keep track of, like, so many different types of characters. Like, I would imagine that in most of your projects you're playing, you know, one or two, or, you know, not so many in one reading, perhaps.
Oh,
what
well,
would you,
I'm
maybe I'm wrong. I know you do a lot of cartoon work, so maybe it's different there.
Yeah, that's Sorry, that's not a real challenge for me. That demo that you played when we did our show, I did that straight through. And I basically had to come up with all those characters when I got there. The woman who made the demo with me, when we worked on the demo together, she's like, all right, come up with a character. Come up with a character. Come up with something the character would say. So I've been doing that kind of work for a long time. It was mostly just like, you know, keep it consistent and stuff. I actually found the narration to be hard, to be difficult too, because that was just my regular voice, and there's so many words that I never even heard of that, you know, had to say them. Brian's helped me on a few pronunciations, haven't you?
Just a few, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be fun. I can understand how you must have get a kick out of doing the bad guys. And can you give me a little bit? I know we're going to do a live reading here just in a moment, but I don't think that includes Dark Eye, does it?
No, and actually, Dark Eye, and I wanted to go back to Michael for a minute because he did a really fantastic job on some of the voices of the characters, the people from Spectreland. If you read the book, it'll say that the way they talk, they're talking through sort of a translation spell in a way. But what it does is it modifies the sound waves of their speech so that you hear them speaking in English, and they hear you speaking in their language. But you know, the result is everything is in English. But the book describes them as when you hear them speaking, there's sort of a sound effect, like a flangey sound effect on their voice. And so Michael actually went through, and every time a Spectreland person spoke, he would add that flangey sound effect onto that line. And so that was just a really nice touch, and I really appreciated him doing that. And it really, really adds to the book, and especially with the Dark Eye character, because not only does he have this kind of unique way of speaking, but adding that effect on top of it, I just couldn't stop smiling every time there was a Dark Eye part. I was like, that's my favorite character now. It was a lot of fun to hear that, and he did a great job. So unfortunately, Dark Eye is not going to be part of the reading. I think to get the full effect of that character, you actually have to hear it on the audiobook itself. So,
yeah, okay. I agree. I think that character is best, you know, to kind of hear it for yourself when he comes in.
Sounds good. Well, that's a good lead-in, guys, for you to do a live reading of another section of the book, because there is no way that I'm going to have you guys on together and not have that opportunity. So, Brian, why don't you help set the stage and give our listeners a synopsis of where in the book you're at, kind of set the stage for where you guys will be reading from.
Okay. This is a scene from the end of the second chapter. And this is what I was talking about earlier, when Joel runs into Marshall on the street. And Marshall actually is supposed to be dead. There was a news release that he had died in a tour bus crash while he was on tour. But actually what that was that Marshall was just faking his death. And so anyway, so Joel is naturally kind of surprised to be running into Marshall here. So we'll start from here. Joel was so wound up that another recurrence of the strange warbling sound barely fazed him. He wandered around aimlessly for a while, losing track of time while thinking about all of the things that he would buy for himself and his family. He didn't feel like going back home at that moment, but he had no alternative destination in mind. The world felt like one big blur. He was so distracted by his own thoughts that he didn't notice the tall stranger wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt and a long black trench coat who sidled up next to him.
Joel,
the stranger whispered in a low, husky voice from within the confines of the hood. Joel didn't hear the stranger. He continued to walk with his eyes fixed forward.
Joel,
the stranger whispered again, a little louder. Joel heard him this time.
Huh? What?
He said as he jumped and looked around, startled out of his daze.
Whoa! You scared me. Wait. Who are you?
I'm Marshall Bile,
the stranger said in a familiar British accent as he turned to look Joel in the eye. Joel quickly looked away.
What? You can't be.
For a second, Joel debated whether to turn and run, or stand and yell at whoever this was for playing a lame joke on him, but then he turned his head back around and got a good look at the stranger's face. Although it appeared a bit older in person, Joel instantly recognized that the face's features and details, the light green eyes, hooked nose, long sideburns, uneven jawline, the scar on the cheek from an onstage accident, were exactly the same as the ones that he had been seeing on posters, album covers, and website photos all of these years. Joel's jaw dropped.
Oh my gosh.
Marshall hissed, his eyes darting around.
Don't blow my cover, mate. I'm supposed to be dead. Just keep walking. You what? Cover? Why are you... What are you doing here? How do you know who I am? Joe, listen to me. We don't have much time. I can make your dreams come true. Your dreams of becoming a rock star. You just have to come with me. Go with you? Where? And how do you know what I want to become? It'll just be for a little while. You want to be a rock star, right?
Joel's mind was reeling. Marshall Beil, his all-time favorite musician, was here, talking to him, offering to make him a star. Was this really happening?
Well, yeah, of course. But...
Marshall stopped walking and grabbed Joel by the shoulders.
Joe, trust me,
he said.
I know this all sounds very strange right now, but I assure you, you won't regret it. Regret what? Where are we going?
Marshall's expression tightened.
We only have a few more minutes, if you really want to do this. Are you in or not? Well...
Marshall sighed and raised his hands.
All right. If you don't want to be a rock star, it's fine by me.
He turned around and started to walk away. Joel stared at the back of his idol, a man who had somehow risen from the dead to appear next to him. He pushed aside the jumble of confused emotions filling his mind. As crazy as all of this seemed, he couldn't pass up what sounded like the opportunity he had been so fervently wishing for.
Sometimes you just gotta say, okay. What the heck? Let's go.
Marshall looked over his shoulder at Joel, a wide smile on his face.
Excellent. So, what do I have to...
Joel started to ask before Marshall gruffly ushered him into a side alleyway between two old buildings. Joel panicked for a brief moment, thinking that he was about to get mugged.
Hey, what are you doing? Shh, don't worry. We just can't be seen,
Marshall said as he reached into his trench coat. Joel, half expecting Marshall to produce a knife or a gun, was quite perplexed by what he saw instead. A small-scale, odd-looking musical instrument that resembled a mandolin, with strings that glowed like the filaments of an incandescent light bulb, and a teardrop-shaped body made of material that looked like it came from the inside of an oyster shell.
Wow! What is that?
He asked.
I'll explain everything later,
Marshall replied.
For now, just stay right there and try to relax. I'm getting pulled into a dark alley by my dead musical idol, who says that he'll turn me into a rock star while whipping out some crazy alien guitar, and he tells me to relax?
Marshall closed his eyes and seemed to enter into a state of intense concentration. He strummed a strange instrument, but Joel couldn't hear any sound coming from it. Joel was about to ask another question when a feeling of dizziness suddenly overcame him, not unlike when he first got seasick as a child. His vision became blurry, and the dizziness quickly gave way to a more intense sensation that felt like he was being turned inside out. He wanted to scream, or perhaps throw up, but he found that he had lost all control of his own body. The CD that he had been carrying fell to the ground and rolled away, but that was the least of his concerns now. Tiny colored streams of light danced before his eyes before everything suddenly went dark. Yay!
Yay!
Cue the applause button, Karen.
I know! Yeah! I had to cover my mouth because I was laughing. It was so awesome.
That was so much fun. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. I I really enjoyed doing that. That was a blast.
Yeah, that was fun.
You guys are great, and just for our listeners to know, these guys are calling in from different places. They didn't practice this together beforehand, at least I don't think so, right?
Oh, no.
Nope.
No.
So this is just total awesomeness live for you guys, so wonderful.
We actually decided on which parts we were going to do seconds before we aired, right, Brian?
Yep.
So that just goes to show the level of talent you guys both have. That was just so much fun. And, you know, our listeners out there, I'm sure they're wondering right now, well, where can they get a copy of Secret of the Songshell and listen to the audiobook? And, Brian, I was hoping you'd be able to share that so that people can connect.
Sure. The print version, well, there's a print version and there's an e-book version. That's available on Amazon or via my website at thespectralandsaga.com. And the audiobook itself is actually still in post-production, and there's no definite release date yet. But what people can do, if they're interested, is to follow me on Twitter. It's at spectralandsaga. Or I also have a blog that you can access from my website, and there'll be announcements. We're also on Facebook, and so yes, you just follow those sites, and there'll be announcements. It should be coming out shortly, I believe, in the next couple of weeks. So,
oh, fun! Just in time for Christmas, then, for those who
indeed
are looking an audio gift.
Yep. Yeah, and then the audiobook will be available on Amazon or Audible.com or iTunes once it comes out. So,
super, super. So, wow. I wanted to know, as far as, before I let you guys go, we still have some time left in our show, so we can talk about different things. But I want to give you both a chance. You guys both have different things going on. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about the projects. I know, Brian, you've talked about your second book a little bit, but maybe there's something else you want to share? You want to go first, or Brian?
Sure. It's basically, I've really just been kind of hard at work on the second book, like I said, and again, doing promotion for the first book. And that's really kind of about it, doing my music stuff on the side as well. That's an exciting project as well that I have going on. Is one of my bands, we're doing some demos right now. We're in preparation to record an album. So that's been fun, and yeah, that's what I've got going on.
Congratulations. And Jonathan, what about what you're doing? I know you've got some neat things going on with Dork Tales.
Yes. Hopefully next year, I'm going to take the Three Little Hedgehogs live. My sister Molly is who works with a man who does live shows for kids, man named Andy Z, has kind of built up some connections, and she's going to try to see if she can help book me to places like libraries or places around the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm going to take the show live.
So now, ooh, for our listeners who aren't familiar with that, that's children's theater. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Dork Tales, because not everyone may be familiar.
Well, Dork Tales is basically fairy tales with like a twist, all as told by me. They were written by a woman named Karen Gardner, who I've worked with when I used to be a part of a children's theater. The whole idea came from when I was helping my sister Molly and her little a stage company that she was a part of just do some performing on the street, and they needed some material, and so I just kind of pulled a fairy tale that I made up on the spot out and did all the voices for, and you know, just kind of a really weird, strange thing, and, you know, that kind of got the idea flowing. And it is for kids, but I did a test run of it, and, you know, I think older kids and, you know, people who would pay attention, you know, and stuff can really enjoy, because it's not just, like, little kids' entertainment. It's hopefully for everybody. Everybody can come see this because, you know, I got a bit of a wry sense of humor about it. And I have a puppet. He's my partner. His name is – he's a hedgehog. His name is Reginald. And
now, Reginald,
he and I have
a...
kind of a he and I have kind of a bit of a antagonistic relationship to each other. It's a lot of fun. And I do all the voices for, I think in this one I play like seven or eight characters.
Very cool. Reginald, I've heard of, because I have a copy of the Mighty League app, and that is something else. Your mom was actually on air earlier this week talking about Geek Club books and all the great things you're doing, but she had mentioned the story of Reginald the Hedgehog and as part of that app as well, right?
Yes.
Yes. So for
yes,
our listeners who might not... I was just hoping you might take a moment and tell our listeners about the Mighty League app, unless they, in case they hadn't heard about it through your mom earlier this week.
Oh well, the Mighty League app is I'm out of a lot of sleep. Yeah, go ahead.
And that's not fair because I didn't put that on the question list. Basically, I had your mom on earlier this week. We were talking about Geek Club books, and there's this storybook app called The Mighty League Volume 1, and it has you as J-Man, and it has the Hedgehog,
yes.
And it's you can use it on the iPad or different tablets to be able to do an interactive storybook, and your voice is... you voice the different characters that are within that. And my youngest son, who's 7, just loves playing through that game. So.
Oh, good. It's an interactive little audiobook. It's got a lot of animation and stuff and music, which was actually done by Andy Z, and found a really good animator to do the designs and stuff, and it's a lot of fun. And yes, Reginald is my I play 10-year-old me, and Reginald is my partner in crime, or a partner in stopping crime. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's really cute app. I was impressed when I saw it, and I think it is available on the App Store. I'm not sure which one. My mom knows more of all that information.
And you did a great job too. You know, if you go to geekclubbooks.com, you'll be able to find it.
Yes.
And your mom's actually, she told us that Geek Club Books is actually doing a special giveaway where anyone who
yes.
enters through the Geek Club Books Facebook page gets a free app. So they'd have an opportunity if they wanted to get that app and be able to hear your voice through that process as well, through that online feature.
Yeah.
So, very
I also don't want. I don't know if you're going to do plugs and stuff later, but you know, you can visit Geek Club Books at geekclubbooks.com. You can also there's a link to my website, which has my demo and a lot of my voiceover samples. It's called johnincharacter.com, and I use that as kind of like what helps promote me to get other work.
Now, you've done a lot of voices in the past, and you have a really good demo reel there. John in Character, where if people want to hire you for voiceover work, how would they do that? Would they go through an agency, or would they contact you directly? How does that work?
It depends. I am a part of Look Talent, which does send me off on a few or sends me some auditions. You can also go to the SF Casting People post a lot of jobs there at SF Casting. There's links on my website about with all that stuff, I think. Or you can, you know, you can just shoot me, you know, me an email or my mom an email, and I'll get it there.
Jonathan, I want to ask, would you be interested in doing future audiobook projects, either like for books in my series or even for other authors? Was the experience something that you enjoyed and would want to do again? Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Cool. So, yeah, so if there are any other authors out there, you know, contact Jonathan, because I can recommend him and Michael very, very strongly. They did a fantastic job.
That's wonderful, yes. So hopefully there's people out there that are listening that can, as they get the book and they listen and they connect, you know, that's a really neat thing about Autism Empowerment Radio, is that we can connect people in all different industries all throughout the world. So, yeah, if you're listening in right now and you want to connect with either of these gentlemen, please do so. And you can also contact us at autismempowerment.org. We have pages now on our website where we have a featured page for each person who has been previously a guest on one of our shows. So for example, for Jonathan, who's been now on the show twice, he has a page on our website where you can go and find out links to his shows, as well as links to his website, Twitter, Facebook, anything that he is connected in there. And for Brian, I think you've been on the show, what, four times now? Four or five?
Yes.
And we have a page there for Brian as well. Brian is also on the Autism Empowerment Board of Directors, and so you can learn a little bit more about him there as well. We were very happy to have him join that at the beginning of this year. So these guys are really, you know, you can connect with them. If you're listening now, you didn't happen to have a pen, just remember our website, and you can connect directly to their sites through our site as well. So. But hopefully you get a chance to go to both of their sites directly, because they each have some great things on there that promote what they have coming up. Brian, you write a blog, right?
I do.
You do? And
yes.
Yeah, is there anything?
I usually update it about once a week or so, depending on what I have going on. And usually it mostly talks about any kind of events that I have coming up, or sometimes I put in things, just, you know, what kind of video games I've been playing, or just silly stuff like that. Or every so often I'll throw in, you know, tips, you know, for writing or for music, stuff that I've learned and, you know, that works for me. So, you know, I try to share that with the readership. So it's you can get to the blog from my website, or it's just BrianTashima@blogspot.com.
Sounds good. I wanted to ask you, too, you know, as far as the book goes, people may not have known, but you are actually the father of a son who has Asperger's syndrome as well. Jonathan, what was it like to play a character, you know, or narrate a character that had Asperger's syndrome?
Well, I think that Joel is a very... kind of a tricky character, because a lot of times the whole story is told through his point of view, and a lot of times his point of view can be all over the place, especially when he's stressed. Also, the way he talks very, kind of like I'm doing now, a lot of ums, uhs, very fragmented, you know, whereas in his mind he speaks very precisely and clearly. And I think that me having Asperger's, me kind of, you know, I kind of know how it sounds and how it should sound, so it wasn't too hard. But definitely, like, from a narration thing, it's kind of all over the place. Like, you know, all of a sudden they're being chased by a bunch of, like, things, and he'll go into a thing like, this is just like when we got to go to this location. It's just like when I read this location on a map. I remember different kinds of maps and stuff, and it's very, I like it because it does, when people ask me, well, what is Asperger's? What is that? It's hard to really explain. But I think, you know, Brian, you did a really good job of really laying out what goes on in this and in the head, in our heads, because a lot of it is in our head, and I think it's a really good window into that.
Cool, thanks. That was really important to me, was that I wanted to have as accurate a portrayal as possible. A lot of Joel's character comes from my son and my observations and my discussions with him, and he was the original inspiration for the book as a whole. I think I've told this story on a previous interview, but the way the whole book got started was one day my son just came up to me and out of the blue just said, "Hey, Dad, can you write me a book?" And I was kind of taken aback. I was like, "Well, no, I don't have time for that." But you know, the more when I thought about it, it was something cool that I could do for him. You know, we were both fans of, you know, Percy Jackson, Harry Potter, you know, sci-fi, fantasy fiction, and yeah, it was something that I've always wanted to do. I've been a songwriter most of my life, and I've dabbled in creative writing before, and I've always wanted to write it, but I just never had a story or a character that I felt that was compelling enough to really kind of carry the project, give it the life to finish it all the way through. And so when he came to me, he asked me that, the more I thought about it, the more I realized, hey, this is a great opportunity for me to do something that I've always wanted to do as a personal goal and something I could do for him. And so he was the inspiration for the book and the character. I thought I wanted to make a character that was, you know, like kind of an empowering role model, you know, a literary hero for kids on the spectrum, you know, for my son and for other people on the spectrum, that they could kind of, you know, get a sense of coolness from. And I like to say it was somebody who saved the day with his special qualities, not despite them. Because I've read a number of other books where you know, they have protagonists on the spectrum, and, you know, they're good books, good stories. I just kind of felt like they always kind of had to, their being on the spectrum was a sort of a condition they had to kind of work around. It was sort of an obstacle they had to overcome. So I wanted to make a story where that was the source of his power, that was the source of his magic, and he would use that to overcome, you know, other obstacles, you know, the bad guys and the monsters and everything. So that's kind of where the whole thing came from. Thank you. I'm really glad that you thought that I was able to capture that. It was really important to me to have that, you know, as accurate a portrayal as possible. And so in the beginning of the book, I actually had Karen read an early draft, and I wanted to get her blessing as well. So I'm glad
Absolutely.
That it turned out that way.
Yeah, I'm on. Go ahead.
Oh, Brian, I just wanted to also mention, you were talking about how your inspiration was Percy Jackson, the Harry Potter series and all that. I had a bit of inspiration. I had an inspirational thing, too, as I was kind of reading the book and imagining some of the different creatures and stuff and, you know, all about the characters' journey and, like, their flaws becoming strengths. One of my favorite series, not just a cartoon, but my favorite series is Avatar: The Last Airbender. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it or seen it, but I recommend you should check it out, because
I have actually already
seen a lot
fan.
Of yeah. And it was just funny because that just kind of, like, you know, there's some characters that I identified with, and I'm like, yeah, these are, you know, characters who have flaws and who turn their kind of their weaknesses into their strengths. And I kind of saw that too, along with my own, you know, my own personal, you know, things with having Asperger's. So I definitely see where you're coming from there.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I thought, you know, I'm on the spectrum as well, and I have two sons on the spectrum, and, you know, it's nice. It really is nice to see something positive and to know, yes, you know, individuals on the spectrum do have strengths and they can be used in positive ways, and it's just, you know, it's a fun read. Anybody can read it and get a lot out of it, but I think particularly individuals on the spectrum are going to enjoy it, and just it's a really, really good fun story. So we're running out of time here, guys. You both did so well today. I'm really happy to have you on air. I'm going to give you each a minute or so to say your last goodbyes and give any last plugs that you'd like, and then we'll need to end our show for today. So, Brian, why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, thanks again, Karen, for having me on today. I really, really appreciate it. And I want to say thanks again to Jonathan and Michael. They did such an amazing job on this. I mean, there was literally, I was listening back to the chapters. I was just smiling through the whole time. It was just a really great experience, and they really did a great job in bringing the book to life. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, and thanks again, Karen, for having me on again. It was a lot of fun, and thank you, Brian, for the opportunity.
Well, you guys are so welcome, and you guys are obviously a very good match together, and I hope that you will be working together in the long run. And don't forget us here at Autism Empowerment, because we want you to come back and do any demos that you have of future books or projects together. So thank you very much. Our listeners listening in, you can go to Brian's website at thespectralandsaga.com, get a copy of Secret of the Songshell, follow him on Twitter to find out when that audiobook is going to be coming out. It should be out probably in the next couple weeks, definitely before the holidays. And check out Jonathan's work at johnandcharacter.com. Great guy, both of them, terrific gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming on air, and if you want to listen to their past shows, you can do so by checking out their pages at autismempowerment.org. This has been Karen Krejcho with Autism Empowerment Radio. Thank you for listening in today, and have a great rest of the day wherever it is you are. Goodbye.